guys. We're back. Did you miss us? Because we missed you.
This is the Fade 5 Podcast with Brad Evans and Nate Lundy.
Place your bets, you jack wagons. We are officially back at the saddle. Brad the Big Noise Evans with you. The good sir Nathaniel Lundy along for the ride on this Friday edition of the show. We're going to do a little bit of college cash here in a minute. We're going to give you our Fade 5 countdown, all NFL player props all the time, and we'll work in some bonus time. Wagers as well. So let's go ahead and dive in and go to the junior circuit and try to make some of that college cash. It's week zero. Which squad or game is going to be a hero for you, Lundy? I only got a handful to pick from.
Yeah, there's not a lot going on, Brad. And unfortunately, you know, I mean, other than you got K-State, you got Iowa State. I know you're going to talk about that one. But yeah, there's not a lot going on. But hey, there's always the Hawaii game. Don't forget about that.
Yes.
Let's make this one easy. Let's just play an over here, shall we? You got Idaho State and UNLV. Now, this total opened a few weeks ago at 62.5. The money has been pouring, and I mean pouring in. 73% of the coin, according to the folks at BetMGM, is on the over in this one, and I am going to follow the money in this one. As a matter of fact, at Caesars, minus 110. It's minus 115 at BetMGM. I'm just getting the extra 5 cents by going over to Caesars. Why do I think we're going to see the over? Because Idaho State, the Bengals are not likely to play a whole lot of defense, y'all. I think UNLV is going to pop it. If you go back and look at last year, and I know the rosters change, all those kinds of things change. But last year, in the second to the last game of the season, Idaho State allowed Eastern Washington to drop a 77 burger on them.
Wow.
Okay. Which means it's possible UNLV might actually hit this 65.5 all by themselves. But at the same time, in that game against Eastern Washington that I'm talking about where they dropped the 77, Idaho State managed to put 42 on the board by themselves. So that was just a defense optional game, obviously, late in the year. So I think the same thing's going to happen here. Let's take the over, Brad. 65.5 on the week zero matchup. We'll take the running Rebs to run up the scoreboard.
I think Stacey Augment agrees with that prognostication, my man. All right, now let's go to Dublin, Ireland, and do some shots at Jameson and chase it with a little Guinness on the draft as well. Give me Kansas State -3 against Iowa State and the Farmageddon Showdown in good old Ireland. And top of the morning to you, because this one starting at 11 a.m. Central Time. -110 juice there at BetMGM. I think K-State's going to be the class of the Big 12 this season. Avery Johnson, a guy that has long, luscious, gorgeous hair. I'm jealous. Go ahead and donate a lock, please. I can weave it into my dome and hopefully sprout some of these abandoned follicles and get them growing again. But I do like K-State quite a bit. You look at ESPN's Football Power Index, K-State projected to be number 18 in the country in that measurement. Iowa State, meanwhile, a little bit further down the ladder at number 32. According to TheAnalyst.com, Kansas State projected to be number 33 in the country in defensive rating and number 18 in offensive rating. Very balanced team. Meanwhile, Iowa State, 47 defensive rating, 33 in offensive rating. I think this one's going to be nip and tuck. Stats War is projecting a 25.41 to 21.26 affair. Even if it shakes out approximately within that range, they're still covering the 3. So I'm going to lay the chalk in this one. Give me the wow, Wildcats of Kansas State over the Cyclones, laying that 3 at a -110 juice at BetMGM. With those bets on the board, it's time to get after it with another edition of the Fade 5.
Number 5.
All right, numero cinco here on the countdown. One of my favorite season-long player props and the alt market available at DraftKings. You see the juice there on your screen. Oh, yeah, let's roll the shoulders. Because I got seduced by the juice on Matthew Golden, who is going to be a shiny new toy, I believe, for Jordan Love in this Green Bay Packers offense. He has been a shining star throughout all of training camp and the smattering of action that he's seen so far in the preseason. A guy's got elite speed. He ran a 4.29 40-yard dash. He can beat you outside. He can beat you inside. So he's got the route versatility. He's got the trust already of Jordan Love. Jordan Love's words, not mine, folks. He called him a, quote, stud. A stud, end quote. Again, Jordan Love, not me. This is the guy's going to come in, get all the separation. Again, he's got a lot of branches there with the route tree. I absolutely love this wager for him to get to 1,000 receiving yards or more at plus 370 at DraftKings Sportsbook, which is absolutely insane in the membrane. Mike Lade, ESPN, has got him projected to finish just south of this number. 114 targets, 69, nice. Receptions, 964 yards and 7 touchdowns. At the FBS level last year, he didn't play for Lake Superior State. He didn't play for, like, Bethune-Cookman. He played for the University of Texas. He was number 8 among all FBS wide receivers in deep yards, number 13 in contested catches as well. So he can win down the field. He can win in short yard situations. He can win in high traffic scenarios. And he's been healthy, which is not the description we have applied to many of the wide receivers in the stable of the Green Bay offense this entire summer. So Jaden Reed's already nicked up. He might land on the pup list to begin the season. Romeo Doubs missed time. Dontayvion Wicks hasn't been 100%. Man, I adore Matthew Golden. I think he gets to 1,000 receiving yards in year numero uno, plus 370 at DraftKings for him to do that. Lundy. Fader, follow.
Well, I'm going to go off of what Jordan Love said. You already talked about it. But the biggest thing for me is also what Mike Clay does. When Mike does his projections going into it, for me, honestly, folks, as much as we are getting ready for our fantasy drafts and all those kinds of things over the course of the next couple of weeks, some of you have it this weekend, some of you've got them next weekend. I look at rankings. I look at the consolidated rankings at Fantasy Pros. I look at the stuff that Brad's got posted up at the Gaming Juice. But one of the things that I keep handy is Mike Clay's projections when I'm thinking about where a player may wind up landing overall with their stat line, because I trust them. And so the fact that he has Golden just barely underneath this one, yes, I know it could be one of those where he has a down game, but he also could have a game where he explodes. He could have one where he breaks out and he outperforms what Clay's thinking. If I can get plus 370 and I'm only talking about a difference of about 40 yards from what Mike's projections are, give me the over on this number. Plus 370 is a great value.
Oh, Matthew Golden, you're going to be quite the precious metal.
Number 4.
Numero cuatro on the Fade 5 countdown. Let's stick with a rookie wide receiver theme, and a guy whose ADP right now in fantasy football drafts is skyrocketing because a number of guys are already hurt. Emeka Egbuka from the Ohio State University. I say he also gets to 1,000 receiving yards. Not as hefty or desirable of a juice compared to Matthew Golden, but plus 150 ain't too shabby. Also pulled this wager from DraftKings Sportsbook. Now, Clay's gotten fearlessly forecasted for a much lower total. That was before Jalen McMillan sprained his neck. A gnarly, gruesome injury is going to keep him sidelined. Really, I think for the majority of the first half of the regular season, you may not see him until at least week 10. Chris Godwin, yeah, he's not going to start the season on the pup, but according to Adam Schefter, he's not going to suit up anytime soon either. The earliest you're going to see him is probably in October. I think it's going to be lucky at best he does return the field anywhere close to full capacity at that juncture on the calendar. So who's left? It's Mike Evans, it's Egbuka, and it's Kate Otten. right? And the running backs, Bucky Irving going to be a busy man in the pass game. He got Baker, the touchdown maker, torn the pigskin in his general direction, one of the most accurate passers in the NFL last season. McMillan accounted for 4.5 targets per game last year. Chris Godwin, when he was healthy, 8.9 targets per game. Ibuka for the Buckeyes was a bankroll, man. A guy that ran 100-plus passer rating is what he earned on 5 different routes. He was number 24 among all FBS wide receivers in yak per reception. Yeah, he was overshadowed by Jeremiah Smith, who is godlike, and I can't wait to see him in an NFL uniform in a couple of years. But Ibuka, I think, is going to make some crazy loud noise in year one, working inside, working outside. And Baker Mayfield, who is on the New Heights podcast, hosted there by the Kelce brothers, he was on there in late July. And he said, man, Ibuka is the real deal. That's exactly how he described him. So, again, that's his quarterback. And the opportunity is ripe for him to post some banner numbers, at least in the early season. So, again, numero quattro on the countdown. Emeka Ibuka, 1,000-plus receiving yards in year one, plus 150 at DraftKings. Alundi, better follow.
This is because of how the season's going to start. So I have to follow you on this one because of the Godwin situation. You got Evan. We're talking about the receivers that are there. Yes, Bucky Irving is going to be very busy. And I think that's actually a statement that will happen throughout the season, not just at the beginning with the limited options that are there. But yes, I like this one because I'm going to take the plus odds. You know me, I don't like to tie up my money for the whole season. And yet I already have on a couple of bets. Which is really scary. I'll actually give you a couple of those when we get to bonus time.
Yarr! Shiver me timbers! Bet on me Buccaneer!
Number 3.
All right, Newark Trace here on the countdown. A lot of the Dallas Cowboys haters in attendance are immediately going to skip ahead to the next wager, and understandably so. But if you like making money, I think this one is going to come through. Dak Prescott is going to make me some dolores this season. I'm going to take him for 30 or more passing touchdowns at plus 200, 2-1 odds. Available there at DraftKings Sportsbook. Folks, he did this a couple of years ago when he was upright, and he did not have George Pickens on the field. It was CeeDee Lamb and a cast of other characters. Of course, CeeDee is still there with the true elite wideouts, working primarily on the slot in the NFL. He's got Pickens, a guy that's like a Cirque du Soleil, a performer with the bends and contortions that he has. The ball is in the air. I'm with the best work in the sidelines in the game. Jake Ferguson's no slouch at tight end as well. And the defense in Dallas is going to suck, folks, especially Micah Parsons doesn't make amends with the organization, maybe get shipped off to somebody else before the regular season begins. Even with Parsons on the field, I think this is going to be a bottom 10 unit. Again, Prescott 2 years ago led the NFL in touchdown passes with 36. And last season, before his hamstring tore off the bone, yikes, he was number 12 in deep ball completion percentage, number 10 in red zone completion percentage as well. The strength of schedule from a fantasy quarterback perspective, not the greatest. But again, you got a susceptible defense. You got a bevy of weapons. These guys can really stretch the field. And two, adding in a sketchy ground attack. Like, who's going to be the primary ball carrier? Is it going to be the former Bronco and Javonte Williams? Maybe it's going to be Jaden Blue. Possibly somebody else. I think the Dak attack is going to feast this year. I am for 30 or more passing touchdowns. Zoomer Trace here in the Fade 5 countdown at plus 200 at DraftKings. Lundy, fade or follow?
This one I'm going to fade you because I'm in the boat with all those Cowboy fans that are just annoyed, disgusted. But that's actually an annual occurrence with Dallas Cowboys fans. You and I know plenty of them. They spend the regular season bitching about their team, and then it gets into the off season, and then they keep bitching about their team. So it's really just a 365 day a year occurrence for them. I don't think Dak hits this number, Brad. I think he finishes in the mid 20s. I do understand that they could be playing from behind, especially if things don't work out with what's going on with Micah Parsons. But I'm just not seeing the passing touchdowns there. I think this is going to be another down year for this team as they continue to look up at the Philadelphia Eagles in their division.
Hey, you want some more bitchin' bets? Sure you do. Go to thegamingjuice.com, you jackals, right now and sign up for a free account while it's still free. All of my fantasy football content is there live and in living color. I've been churning out a ton of work about the player props market. My rankings are fresh and up to date. Even my one-sheet cheat sheet that you can print out for free at thegamingjuice.com has been updated ahead of the busiest fantasy football draft weekend of the season. Get it all, including Lundy's free spreadsheet picks. Mine live there as well. My last week for MLB bets, I got to press the pause button on that sport. Exhale. It's been a roller coaster ride of sorts on the diamond this year, but I got to turn my attention and focus on the gridiron, and starting with week zero in the world of college football, I have my college football bets already posted on that spreadsheet. And maybe even a little preseason action here and there as well, because I am a true blue degenerate. Go to thegamingjuice.com. Click, converse, and cash. Dot, dot, dot. Maybe.
Number two.
All right, numero dos here on the Fade 5 countdown. Let's go with a guy that's built like a Sherman tank. Lundy and I have a draft in about a week. And our annual Hamlin Invitational is a super flex 16-team auction draft. And this guy is going to go for a pretty penny. I guarantee it. That is Omarion Hampton. 1,000-plus rush yards for him. This is kind of crazy. Plus 185. Are you kidding me? Available there at DraftKings Sportsbook. Last checked, Najee Harris, who was one of those kids that indeed shot his eye out with that fireworks incident on the 4th of July. Folks, he's not participating in any kind of football activities. He's like a run around laps or like walking around the field. And that's what Harbaugh's saying. Yeah, Najee's here. He's taking laps around the field. That's all he's doing. He's not like at all going after the tackling dummy. He's not out there in pads. He's doing nothing. He's just walking around. Your grandmother at 85 does that in her Skechers shoes, with more exuberance than Najee Harris right now. So very much on the outside looking in at this scenario. I think Omarion Hampton, even though the coaching staff, Greg Roman, the OC at LAC, has said, hey, he's not going to get like 85, 90% of the opportunity share in week one. We're going to work in a second or third back on occasion. But still, I think he's going to get 15, 18 touches out of the gate, and I think he's going to assert himself as the main man in that backfield for the LA Chargers this season. Mike Lay has got him projected for 230 carries, 1,025 rush yards, and 10 rushing touchdowns. He can do everything, catch the ball as well, clean out the backfield. He's an astute pass blocker as well, so he's not going to be surrendering snaps in that area. And he saw what he did last season at the University of North Carolina in the pre-Bill Belichick era, thankfully for him. He was top six in yak per attempt among all FBS running backs, top six in total missed tackles force, top six in total breakaway runs. Those are runs of 15 or more yards. There are no flaws. There are no weaknesses to his game. And at 6 feet, 225 pounds, he is built like a shit brick house in a run-heavy scheme. He is going to deliver across the board. So, Omarion Hampton, numero dos on the Fade 5 countdown to get to 1,000 rush yards. Again, another crazy good value, plus 185 at DraftKings. Lundy, tie your up money up for another like 4 or 5 months, interest-free, if you don't mind. Fade or follow.
Yeah, why can't I earn something along the way, Brad? I need some sort of little payoff, right? Like just
Something, seriously.
Something while I'm waiting for all of these things to cash. Well, look, we already know how good, or I do, because I'm sitting right here in the Mile High City. I know how good the Denver defense is. So Hampton's going to have to get this done in the other games over the course of the season, the 15 others that are on there, because chances are the Broncos are going to slow him down big time. And try to force the Chargers to do some things through the air. And then, the secondary will be there to pick off Herbert at least once, maybe twice. If you can't tell, folks, I am ridiculously high on the Broncos defense and what they're going to do this season. I mean, this is an absolute kick-ass defense, y'all. But I still think he can get to this number because, again, I come back to what I talked about. It's a broken record because you just talked about it. I put a lot of stock in Mike Clay's projections. I just do. And he's got him at above 1,000. And when Mike is doing these, he is taking into account the idea that Hampton's got to go up against the Broncos twice over the course of the regular season because it's a divisional opponent. So even with that said, he's still got him above 1,000 yards. That is because the Chargers do have a couple of nice pieces in the schedule this year, including, by the way, the aforementioned Cowboys, because the AFC West plays the NFC East this season. That is the cross-divisional, cross-conference matchups for everybody this year. So with all of that said, I think Hampton can get to the 1,000. And once again, if I'm looking at the plus odds here, this is a solid value.
Do yourself a favor and bet on this, and then go ahead and buy yourself a property in the Hamptons.
Number one.
Numero uno on the Fade 5 countdown. You guessed it. It's getting down with who? My guy, Chase Brown, baby. Drink all of that maple syrup from old Canada. A product of Toronto and a guy who's going to deliver on all fronts. This is my top play, bar none, for him to go 1,000 rush yards. It's plus 170. You want plus money? We're giving you some juicy plus money on the Fade 5 podcast today and some of these season-long markets. Plus 170, get that number only at the King of Sportsbooks. That, of course, my buddies there at BetMGM. Why am I getting down with my guy Chase Brown? Well, it's very simple. Again, going to Mike Clay, he's got him over 1,000 yards. He got him at 242, 1,021 on the ground, 8 rushing touchdowns. He had 72.8% of the opportunity share last year. And who is the backup in Cincinnati? Pop quiz hot shot. I'll go ahead and sit here. And I'll turn gray, though I don't have the hair to turn gray with. But I'll just wither away. Do you know who it is?
It's Zach Moss, Samaje Perine, wherever we want to go. Who else do we want to pick up?
It ain't Zach Moss. He got cut, bro.
Samaje Perine.
He ain't on the team anymore, bro. It's Taj Brooks, rookie. Yeah, there you go. Nobody knows who the damn backup is in Cincinnati. What does that tell you? Chase Brown is going to get probably 80-85% of the opportunity share at a minimum. A guy who was pretty efficient last season when inserted the starting lineup. He finished number 16 in yards after contact per attempt. He finished number 13 in the NFL in total missed tackles force. Yes, he's got a suspect offensive line. Yes, the Cincinnati Bengals are going to be a dreadful turnstile defense, which will lead to some negative game scripts. But he's a guy that can do a little bit of everything. He may catch 60, 65 balls as well. I think Chase Brown, and this may sound outlandish to some of you, so go ahead and put on some earmuffs. You don't want to hear this. I think he is a similar build and similar statistical type as a Christian McCaffrey and what he can bring to the table, which is just across the board production. He's got the explosiveness. He's got the nose of the goal line. He's not going to leave the field very often. So through sheer volume and what I feel is going to be the best offense in the NFL, it is going to be a banner campaign for my guy from the ILL, that being Chase Brown. Could be the one-on-ones at the RB position in fantasy come year's end. But for him to do 1,000 yards, that is our top bet numero uno on the Fade 5 countdown today at plus 170 at BetMGM. Lundy, there's only one answer here. If you go the other direction, I'll see you at the Monkey Bars at 3 o'clock.
Ooh, Monkey Bars? Those are fun. Yep. You just hang upside down. I don't think I can do it anymore at my age, but that's how I used to spend recess. I would just go out to the Monkey Bars. I'd flip, just hang upside down, which could explain a lot of things.
It really
about
does.
Because I'm sure at least probably a half a dozen times I probably fell, landed on my head. So that could explain a lot of things. No, I mean, look, you brought it up in terms of who the backup is, the cuts that have been made. I mean, this is an opportunity share thing. With him, he should be able to hit this number. And I would think, I know you can't really ladder. Most of the time when you can ladder, you're talking about going up to like 1250, things like that. I don't think I'd do that. Not when I can get plus odds at the King of Sportsbooks.
Yep, totally agree. So again, get down with some Chase Brown if you like making some money. Just stay healthy, Chase. All we need is, I think, 15 games. You're going to hit 1,000 yards on the ground this year. All right, bonus time, bonus time, Lundy. Let's get after it. Whether you want some action on this Friday evening, over the weekend, looking ahead at some of the other futures markets in college, the NFL, or elsewhere, all I ask is more bets. So give them to me. Give them to me.
All right. For anybody that's actually consuming this podcast, the day we are producing it here on this lovely Friday, August 22nd, here's two baseball picks for you for this evening. Let's talk about Brad's Cubbies, shall we?
Yeah.
And I will take the over on 1.5 total bases on Justin Turner for this evening. He is taking on Mr. Anderson, Tyler Anderson of the Angels. Would you like to know his stat line for his career? And by the way, none of this shit about sample size, y'all. He's had 40 at-bats in his career against Tyler Anderson. You know what his average is? 500. He has a 500 average against Anderson over the course of his career, including a 1,000 slugging percentage.
Wow.
Give me the over on total bases, which you can get right now at DraftKings. Oh, Brad. Oh, oh, loosen the belt. It's plus 135.
Woo!
Yes! He's got a 500 average, y'all. This is ridiculous. The other guy I like, if I'm going to give you a bet on Brad's Cubs, let's talk about my Colorado Rockies. And we're going to go to the other side. They are on the road. They just split with the Dodgers, y'all. Holy
crazy shit.
Crazy. Yeah, it nearly took Shohei Ohtani out for the season. Thanks, Orlando Arcia. Give me Andrew McCutchen. Give me old man McCutchen over on the other side for the Pirates. I'm going to go with the exact same bet. Give me the over on 1.5 total bags for McCutchen. That one you can get right now at a plus 120 over at DraftKings. Why do I like that? 313 lifetime average against Antonio Senzatella, who will be on the bump for the Rockies. But most importantly, McCutchen in his career is batting 298 against the Rockies. It's a team that he just finds a way to make contact and get on base. And even at his age, Brad, as you well know this season, he just keeps popping them over the wall. And if somebody puts it on a tee, which we know Senzatella is pretty good at, he might even do that. He could do it easily with one swing. So again, a couple of total bags, Andrew McCutchen, Justin Turner. Those are the two that I like. Season-long prop that I like, as long as we have been focused on those here. Cortland Sutton, the new $100 million man here in Denver. His over-under on his season total for yardage, folks, is 875.5. The reason I like that, he has only gone over that total twice over the course of his career. One of them was all the way back in 2019. Brad, you know who was throwing in the ball in 2019? Got an idea?
No idea. No idea.
Joe Flacco and Drew Locke. That's who was throwing in the ball in 2019. He managed to do it. The second time he did it in his career, folks, you guessed it, last year with Bo Nix, where he finished with 1,081 yards. Here's the other reason I like it. Our good man, Mike Clay, has Cortland Sutton projected for 1,016 yards. That means Cortland can miss the number by about 15% and still hit the over at the 875.5. It is my favorite season-long prop. Yes, I am a homer. I like Cortland. He's a good dude, and he's a great football player as well. So give me the over on the 875. Two week one bets that I have already made. The aforementioned Joe Flacco, as soon as I heard that he was starting for the Colts, I couldn't take Miami plus two fast enough. So I am going to take Miami. I think they're going to win it outright. But I'm going to take Miami plus two because it's Flacco, y'all. So I did that one. That's your standard juice at minus 110. And then sticking to the receiving theme, I'll take the newly anointed tight end here in Denver, Evan Ingram. His number right now, 34.5 yards in week one against the Titans here at home at Mile High. Evan Ingram, if you go back, yes, I know he has been hurt, but if you go back and look at his recent history of his game logs, even when he had Trevor Lawrence throwing in the ball, etc., this is a guy that gets up into the 40s pretty consistently, does it in about 70%, 65% of his games. I think that's going to happen here in week one because I think Sean Payton is going to want to finally solidify the fact that they have a tight end out there on the field. So I think Bo Nix is going to be looking for him in week one. Wouldn't be surprised if Ingram doesn't splash six as well in that matchup against the Titans in week one. But those are my two week one props. Yes! Week one props that I have already made. And that's in addition, by the way, to the bets that you and I made several months ago on Mr. Ashton Jeanty. So I will yield the floor now to the fine gentleman from Illinois.
Yeah, those Ashton Jeanty wagers were variable. I think I took 10 or more touchdowns, significant plus money. It was like close to 3-1 odds. I took him over 1,000 yards at like minus 110. I also took it at 1,250 at like plus 180.
Brad, I actually laddered him on his touchdowns. I made a bet at 10 plus, at 12 plus, and I made a small bet at 15 plus.
15.
I went ahead, and like I said, I did my standard unit on the 10. You and I talked about that on an earlier episode of the pod a few months ago, right around the draft. But I also laddered his touchdowns at 12 and at 15. You can find those at the various books. I think there's a really good shot, at least on the 12, and I decided to sprinkle something on the 15.
All right, working in my bonus time wagers. Give me Casey Mize to record the win tonight in Major League Baseball. Taking on the Kansas City Royals. Of course, Mize plays for the Detroit Tigers. Plus 175 on that one. He's won three straight games, folks. I know Casey has been hotter at the dish. Number five in WRC Plus the last couple of weeks, but the Tigers, no slouches in that category, the same span at number 14. He's also split against Casey this season, and a pair of starts with a respectable 3.48 ERA, which he also has a 3.48 ERA at home. So hopefully we'll get the run support, go at least five innings, a lead with a lead, bullpen comes in, slams the door, Casey Mize gets the win, and then I cash in at plus 175. Nico Hoerner, I think he scores a run. Tears up left-handed pitchers, which Tyler Anderson is. You mentioned Justin Turner. You know, maybe Nico gets on and Turner knocks him in. I'll totally take that. He's batting 339 this season against LHPs. He's 4-for-11 lifetime against Tyler Anderson. He's going to be batting in a leadoff spot. He's only scored two runs this entire month because the Cubs offense has come unplugged here of late. But Anderson, 6.35 ERA in his last five. The Cubs should tee off. Hopefully somebody will knock in Nico Hoerner. Minus 120 for him to touch home plate. And then I'll even wager on some preseason action. Bear down, Chicago Bears! First half line. Bear starters are going to play. Probably a couple of series, according to Ben Johnson. Same story, according to Andy Reid, for his Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes will suit up. Some of the other starters will see some action as well in that first half. But I think the Bears win the first half somehow, some way. If they win on the money line, it's plus 114. Nice value there. I think the version of Caleb Williams that we saw against the Buffalo Bills backups will arrive in Cowtown tonight and hopefully be twirling the spirals, tight ones all over the field and eating up this defense of Kansas City. And hopefully Chicago will have a lead at the half. So to win the first half on that money line and get plus 114, I booked that one at DraftKings. I also like the Titans in the first half of preseason week three, minus 2.5, taking on the Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota's not trying out any starters. The Titans are going to play Cam Ward. They're going to play Calvin Ridley. Some of their guys, the key players, are going to see time on offense, building a rhythm, establishing a flow, building up the chemistry. I think the Titans will take the first half and cover the 2.5. And then finally, one more bet in college football. There's always a Hawaii game. And that is certainly going to be the case. Taking on Tank Williams, my former colleague at Yahoo, who's a coach now for the Stanford Cardinal. His squad, they're expected to be bottom feeders of the Cardinal in the ACC. I'll lay the 2.5 with the fighting Timmy Changs, the Chang gang. I think they could probably get it done. I know they were god-awful pretty much across the board, offensively, defensively last year. But Chang, hopefully will get that offense firing. And what better way to beat up on the punching bags that the Stanford Cardinal expected to be defensively this season. So I will take Hawaii. Hello, Hawaii. Yeah, I'm going to come over, all right, at the minus 2.5 if you're cashing in for your boy. All right, I'm out of breath, and we are out of time here on the Fade 5 podcast. Again, we're back, folks. We'll have another episode next week, focus on more season-long props in the NFL in week one of the full college football slate. So until next time, as always, fade or follow, that is up to you. Peace.